If I can give an introduction, there's a concept, as you all know, called Rebbe Muvhak. This appears in the Gemara, in Masechta Kiddushin, and in many other sugyos in Shas. A Rebbe is a Rebbe. What's a Rebbe Muvhak? And the Rambam codifies this halacha in Hilchos Talmud Torah. So in order to understand what a Rebbe Muvhak is, I have to ask my Rebbe what a Rebbe Muvhak is. And he's not alive, but I did hear from him an answer to the question, what is a Rebbe Muvhak? And he said the following. We divide our Torah into kavus and echus, into quantity and quality. And he said that Rebbe Muvhak is not quantity. You could have learned many, many black Gemara from a certain Rebbe. That doesn't make him into your Rebbe Muvhak. Rebbe Muvhak is echus. It's quality. The Rebbe Muvhak gives you an approach to life, an approach to hashkafa, to all the issues that you have to face. A Rebbe really molds you. And I remember Rav Soloveitchik added the following. He said that, I don't know how many black gemara I learned with my father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Maybe it was 500. That's not a bad number. But I'm sure I learned more black gemara even without my father. But he is my Rebbe Muvhak. Because any gemara that I learn, any piece of Torah that I try to understand, it's always based on the methodology that he gave me. So the definition of a Rebbe Muvhak then, in this context, is someone who gave you, he made such an impact on you as a Talmud, that you can approach anything, whether it's in Shas, whether it's in life, with his hashpo, with his influence. That's how profound of an impact he had on you. And the laws of a Rebbe Muvhak are very strict and very demanding. So today I want to dedicate this short shiur to two individuals. Many individuals we've lost in the past short period of time, but two individuals, one of whom I did not know, although I knew him sort of by osmosis, and the other I knew personally. And the one I knew personally is a Rav Moshe Goldberg, Zichron Levrach. I'm sure you all knew him, and I could speak about him on and on. I wouldn't say he was my Rebbe Muvhak, but I learned so much from him in the 2 years that I was here in Toronto. And then, of course, Rav Reuven Silva, Zichron Levrach. And I was zocher to be a little bit part of his base medrash at Yudi Planka's house over the course of the last, almost a decade now. And these are losses that are irreplaceable. So the question we want to address is, and Joe, you came up with the idea that we should address this question, is how do we deal with the loss of a Rebbe? Now, what I had planned to do for today, it didn't work out exactly the way I planned, was to go through with you an essay from my Rebbe in a book called Al HaTshuva. So I'm just going to mention where you could find this, and you know, anyone who wants to photocopy this, you'll be my pleasure. There's a sefer called Al HaTshuva, based on Rav Soloveitchik's Tshuva Drushes, which he gave annually, Ben Kessel Asar, and these are pages 178 to 183. So obviously it's going to be difficult to read this inside line by line because you don't have the text in front of you. And there are two other texts also from my Rebbe that I wanted to share with you. But what I'll try to do is, without losing you, hopefully, I'll try to summarize his ideas. This particular tshuva drasha is entitled Biur Hara Veha'alaso. There are two ways of dealing with evil and with sin. One is biur hara, which means to totally destroy evil, to eradicate it. If a person is a baal tshuva, it means he's completely cut off from his past. I always say that if you want to erase something in such a way that no one can tell that it was ever there, and it's on a piece of paper, then what you can do is you can white it out and then photocopy it. And the photocopy makes it impossible to know that anything before that was written. And that's Biur Hara. That's what we call destroying evil. The Baal Tshuva is completely alienated, cut off from his past. There's another method of Tshuva, which is on a higher level. And that's called Halas Hara. I don't forget my past. I don't cut myself off from the past. But rather, I'm connected to the past. And somehow, in some psychological, metaphysical way, it projects me to the future. And that's the higher level of tshuva. So in the context of this very long presentation, in a shiur that my Rebbe gave some 45 years ago, he speaks about the loss of his father, the loss of a Rebbe. And he says the following. The tragic situation that man faces, and it's part of man's very being, is that when he has access to a person, a live person, he very often fails to take advantage of it and misses opportunities. Here the person is alive, a Rebbe, a father, a mother, a close relative. And somehow, the opportunities were missed. And he writes the following. He says, Anashim ha-krovim ve'ahuvim bi'oter, the most beloved people who are very close to us, and yet einam zochim la'aracha nechona kol zman shem kayamim b'mitziyut. As long as they're alive, they don't become worthy of recognition, of evaluation. We don't appreciate them as we should. And then they're taken away from us. And here's the tragedy of it all. We can't get them back. We're at loss without them. We cannot communicate with them. We cannot evaluate them. And we begin to become aware, to realize that we lost golden opportunities during their lifetime. And we begin to feel gaguim, longings. Rav Soloveitchik says, what would I give for 5 minutes with my father if I could share with him some of the insights that he came up with, chidushim, in this sugya, in that sugya, just to hear what he would respond. He says, no doubt, some of them, he would shake his head, he would nod with approval. Others, he would say, no, you can't say that. Then he would reject it. What would it mean to me if I had those 5 minutes? Anyone who's experienced avelus, grief, will know exactly what we're talking about. The most painful experience of mourning is that sense of, I could have had it when I could have had it, and now I can no longer have it. In Rav Soloveitchik's words, avelus, above and beyond its technicalities, how you fulfill the laws of avelus, and the suffering over the loss of a departed one, hake'ev, but what's most painful is, ilu yacholti. Those are the two key words. Ilu yacholti. Not the pain that I feel now, but the pain in a sense on the past. Ilu yacholti, if I could bring back the past, if I could only have that moment with that person who is so beloved to me, if I could only appreciate them for what they are, if I could only evaluate them. He goes on to say that there's an amazing story in the Gemara in Brachos Mem Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara tells about the loss of Rav. When Rav died, his Talmidim came to the funeral, and something happened to them, the Gemara reports, on the way back from the funeral. They were hungry, they hadn't eaten, they gathered together to break bread, but they separated one from the other. The reason they separated, apparently, is because within the laws of Avelus, we don't join together as one zimun for a meal. And the law is that if you lose a Rebbe Muvak, then for at least the first day of his loss, you're in a state of Avelus Yom Rishon. So they decided on their way back, sitting on a riverbank, with many different places to sit, on stones and so forth. Let's eat a meal. I'll read to you the Gemara. Ki nach nafshei de Rav, ozlei talmid of Basre. Rav passed on, his talmidim went after him, meaning they buried him. Ki hadre, on their way back, Amri, they declared, Nezel v'nechol lachma anar dank, on the shores of the bank of this river, let's go eat bread. And Bosa de Karchi Yasvi, after they washed their hands, they divvied up into different individual places. They didn't eat together. The Yasvi Vakomi Boile, after they finished their meal, they raised the following question. They sevu dafkatan, aval yoshvu lo dilma, kevan di amri nezel venechel rifta beduchto planya, ki esevu dom. The Mishnah codifies the halacha of Haseva. Haseva means we eat bread together at one table. Then we have a zimun together, we bench together as one unit. Should we interpret this Mishnah literally? It's got to be Haseva. Here we didn't sit together, therefore we have no possibility of zimun. Odilma, perhaps Haseva means that we decided as one unit to partake in a meal. Even if we didn't eat the meal together, that's sufficient. And they didn't know the answer to this question. Imagine a simple question of Zimun, and they didn't have the answer. Come Rav Ada Bar Ava. Rav Ada Bar Ava, one of the Talmidim of Rav, stands up. Ahadar kare liachore vekara kriya chrina. And he cut kriya a second time. The halach is that a Talmud cuts kriya on the loss of his Rebbe. But Rav Ada Bar Ava cut kriya not once, but twice. And he declared the following. Nach nafshi de Rav. Rav has passed on. Ubirchas mizona lo gamrinon. We don't even know the laws of birchas hamazon. All the Torah of Rav was passed on to his Talmidim. Rav Ada Bar Ava depended on his Rebbe Rav for everything. For all the Torah that was transmitted to him. And now Rav is gone. And Rav Ada Bar Ava says we can't even answer a simple question. If Rav were alive, we would address the question to him. At this point, Rav Ada Bar Ava feels the avelus a second time around, and therefore he cuts kriya. I believe there are two important messages in this story of Rav Ada Bar Ava. The first message is that very often during the lifetime of a Rebbe, we don't appreciate the Rebbe. We don't take full advantage of him. Of course, we're saddened by the loss and we cut kriya. But it takes a while sometimes. It's a delayed reaction until we really appreciate the loss. And then the avela starts anew. And it's mechayev, a second kriya. Rav Ada Bar Ava realized that without his Rebbe, he's lost. And we as his Talmidim can't even respond to the basic questions of Zimun. And therefore now, we feel the Avelus in the most profound way. And that generates a chiyuv kriya. I'll read to you some of Rav Soloveitchik's writings. He says, Afilu dover rogel umotzu kibo birkas amozo lo lamadnu. The achshav, now that we realize this, no dolar avada barava v'chaverov ki rabam einenu. The Rebbe is gone. Ve'im chazru v'karu kriya shniya. At that moment, they appreciated the loss of the Rebbe Muvak. Rav Soloveitchik goes on to describe the experience that he felt when he prepared his tshuva drasha that year, because that was the year which his wife passed on. And again, I'm not going to read it to you because I know it's going to bring myself to tears. He describes how every year when he prepared his tshuva drasha, he would have questions about where he could shorten it, where he could lengthen it, what point was central and should be emphasized, and he would ask his wife. And this year, he says, he called out to his wife. But somehow, the answer got lost in the wind. And death is the most tragic experience that man faces. It's irreversible. How many questions we have to ask from those who have departed, but we can't ask them. We don't have a long distance phone. I mean, Facebook won't help you. Nothing will help you. None of my communications. This is the sense of avelus. And in this particular drasha, the Rav takes avelus for a Rebbe and he compares it to the process of tshuva. When a person is observant and he wakes up in the morning, he washes negelvas, he puts on tefillin, he davens, he observes the laws of kashrus and Shabbos, he feels a sense of closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Shekhinah. But then he realizes that he sinned. And as a result of chet, he has created barriers, mechitzos, that separate him from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, he may not feel this way. He may not be immediately aware of the fact that he's not close to the Ribbono Shel Olam anymore. It may take months, it may take even years, until he finally realizes that his life is somewhat empty, that he's gone off the derech, and he's not close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But here the situation is different than the situation of losing a Rebbe Muvak. Because when you lose a Rebbe, that's irreversible. But if your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is impaired, if there's a richuk between you and the Eibishter, you can recreate that closeness. And that's what tshuva is all about. And here Rav Soloveitchik claims that the ultimate level of tshuva is not biur hara, destroying evil and cutting off from the past, but rather halas hara. There's one kind of a Baal tshuva who completely cuts himself off from the past, but there's another kind of a Baal tshuva that remembers the past. Chazal, at the Gemara at the end of Yuma, and the Rambam codifies the Hilchos Tshuva, quote the Pasuk, Chatoi Kenegdi Samid. I don't forget my sins. And what it really is, that you remember what life could have been like had you not sinned, because you remember that closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you feel now that Richuk, you're so far from Him. But the Ribbono Shel Olam B'Tshuva has chesed and compassion and allows man to come closer, to reinstate that relationship. And so the memories of the past project him forward towards a tshuva of halas hara. And that projection, which comes from the memory of evil, will bring him back to that close relationship. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva talks about the immediacy of tshuva and its impact. Yesterday, the Rambam says, he was a chote, and he was meruchak, he was meshukatz, he was far from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Today, he did tshuva, he's a karov, a chaver, and he did, he's close to HaKadosh Baruch. So I lost my Rebbe. Where do I go from here? The mitzvah of Avelus has two parts to it. One part is incumbent upon the close relatives of someone who passed on. That's the technical Avelus, the kiyum of all the laws of Avelus for Shiva, for Shloshim, for Yud Beis Chodesh. But there's another aspect to Avelus. And that's not limited to the Krovim. It applies to every single one of us. And that's called Hesped. The mitzvah of Hesped is not uniquely incumbent upon the Krovim. And if a Gadol B'Yisrael dies, every single Jew is responsible for the mitzvah of Hesped, to recognize the loss of a Gadol. Now, of course, not everyone is going to get up and give the Hesped. We'll honor that person who is best eloquently at formulating the Hesped. But nevertheless, each and every one of us has to recite a personal, individual Hesped. And what is a Hesped? And what is its goal? One goal of a Hesped, which is very intricately connected to Avelus, is to see to it that the people cry over the loss of a Chacham B'Yisrael. Bechi and a serious state, a profound state of tsar, is essential to Avelus. And the Maspidim have to realize that this is not a time for telling jokes, This is not a time for brevity and levity. This is a time for serious bechi, to bring the people through what's called mekononos. You know, back in the day, if you remember the pasuk in Eicha, says that there were mekononos, kirula mekononos. Sometimes, in order to arouse the people to appreciate the loss, you need mekononos. These are people who know how to lament the loss in such a way that it generates, it stimulates a person, arouses a person to cry. But the other obligation, the other aspect of Hesper, which is much more profound and much more difficult to achieve, is to evaluate the loss. Who was this person? What did they contribute? What were their mahalchim? What were their ways? And how do they carry themselves? How did they face challenges? What was their greatness in Klal Yisrael? And for such a Hesper, you need to understand the person who's gone, who's taken away. And that's something very difficult. We think we know a person during their lifetime, but do we really know them? A human being, to a certain extent, is a lonely person, is a closed book. We see him on the outside. We hear his Torah. But do we know him for what he really is? For his very essence, his unique personality. And very often during the lifetime of a Rebbe, we don't appreciate the Rebbe, we can't identify his essence, we cannot eloquently formulate in paragraphs and sentences exactly who he was. And only after he's gone, through the vehicle of Hesped, we begin to evaluate him. We begin to realize what we lost. We go back and we think, who was he? And what was his contribution? What was his unique personality? My Rebbe gave a hesped many, many years ago for Reb Chaim Ozer, who he knew as a young man. The first part of the hesped is a long apology in which he says, I don't know if I can do justice to such a gadol. You know, Reb Chaim Ozer was the gadol ador. But he says something amazing here in this hesped, which I wanted to share with you. And again, I apologize that you don't have it in front of you. He says that in the case of Reb Chaim Ozer, because no one really knew him in his essence, he was such a closed person in terms of his inner thinking, that what the Hesped has to be, he calls it a tzava. How would you translate tzava into English?
A will.
A last will and testament, right? Imagine, a whole new perspective on Hesped. Hesped is an attempt to answer the following question. The person died. He was a gadol. He was a great giant. He transmitted Torah. I was a Talmud of his. He was my Rebbe Muvok. What would he want me to do moving forward? That's what Hesped is. Because in an event that we cannot answer the question of Hesped, who was he, and define his essence, then Hesped turns into a tzava. And he writes the following. He says, we live in a time of Churban. Right? This is the time of the Holocaust. And he writes, Hazman Goreim leHespedim. This is a time of many Hespedim. But we don't have the ability to fulfill that mitzvah of Hesped. Ki im, but what can we fulfill? Lishvuat emunu, to take an oath of faith. Shenamshich et avodas hakodesh. Shalameis HaGadol, to carry on his legacy. Now we're asking a different question. We're not asking who was he and how to describe and define his essence. We're asking what would he want from us? What did he feel he wanted to impose upon us as an obligation carrying forward? That becomes the focal point of a Hesped. And Rav Soloveitchik goes on to describe Rav Chaim Ozer's legacy as a combination, a unique integration of chesed, care for Klal Yisrael, for all people who are umlalim, who are unfortunate, and a dedication to Torah study. Rav Chaim Ozer was an amazing synthesis of those two elements. I have here another hesped that Rav Soloveitchik gave for his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Heller. And he introduces the hesped with some of the same categories that we spoke about before. He said that hesped as a pulachitzonit, as an external action, is part of avelus, just like avelus requires certain external actions. But he says that's not the real mitzvah of hesped. The kiyum of hesped is a kiyum shebalev. It's in the heart of a person. The divrei yagon v'kina, the words of lamentation and woe, einam ela b'chinas kli, they're only a vehicle, al yadosh en mitzgashemes hamatarat, to achieve the ultimate goal. It's a medium to achieve the end of avelus shebalev. And he goes on to say the following. First, chovaso shel hasaftan, the one who gives the eulogy, his obligation is laseis tiur sholem uvematze, in logical terms, to summarize exactly what was the nature of the loss. But ultimately, after that intellectual endeavor of summary, the kiyum is bechi, is a kiyum shebalev. So therefore, Avram Avinu comes after the loss of his wife, lispod lesara ulivkosa. Lispod means divrei hesped, to appreciate who Sarah was and what it was her legacy, but then to achieve avelus shebalev and bechi. So the intellectual is only a means to an end. And he goes on to ask the question of a chote. The pasuk in Tanakh in David HaMelech says ani berov chazdecha, and goes on to say avas olam avtich, Hashem loves us. Do we appreciate that love? The chote realizes that he's violated that agreement and that love relationship. But who miskagea eleha? Again, the same concept of gaguim, of longings, of nostalgia for that relationship of ava that has passed. He goes on to say that the tragic paradox is when we talk about a Rebbe or an Aram Gadol, is that kol zman she'adam zeh chai b'kirbeinu, as long as he's alive, kol zman she'anachnu nifgashim imo, we encounter him on a daily basis, we don't appreciate him, and we hardly know him. Pit'om, all of a sudden, nistalek ha'ish me'itanu, without any warning, he's taken away. He may be 69 years old, healthy, full of smiles, full of energy, and yet, all of a sudden, he's gone. And everyone's in a state of shock. He may be older, gives a shiur one day, and the very next day he goes to sleep, never to return. His dmut, his vision, seems to be in a distant past. Lifnei rega kat hayta dmuat kol krovai leinu. A moment ago he was so close to us. We were with him. Avalo samnu lev. We didn't pay enough attention to appreciate who he was. But after he's gone, matchilim agaguim eleha. We begin to long for that vision of that person. And he goes on to say that Biyamav, in the time of Reb Chaim Heller, lo tarachnu lavino karoy. Reb Chaim Heller was known as an anav, as a humble person. He didn't wear any special clothing at the various aguda conventions. He refused to sit up front. He sat in the back. This was Reb Chaim Heller. And so we didn't take the effort to know him as well as we should have. Lord, if Nenu, we didn't take the time, listakel b'klaster panav. Klaster panav means his countenance, but it means his essence. Viata, now. Kishavadnu, so we lost him. For who may aver lo lamenu, he lives in a different world, in other olamos. Hidenu mishtadlim, we try to find him, to discover him. Vianu yoshvim v'toim, and we sit in amazement because we don't know who he was. He compares Reb Chaim Heller to the Aron Kodesh in Nishba. You remember in Tanakh, in Sefer Shmuel, the Aron Kodesh is taken captivity. And Reb Chaim Heller, he says, was an Aron Kodesh who was taken into captivity. So how can we give a hesped for Reb Chaim? And he says that every day, three times a day, in one of the brachos of tefillah, we say, al atzadikim, etc., etc., v'al pleitas beis sofrenya. What does it mean, pleitas beis sofrei? He says a dor, a generation, is blessed with talmidei chachamim, with gedolei Torah, with chachamim that could transmit the Torah. But nevertheless, that dor is not necessarily guaranteed to be part of the shalshelas haTorah. Im kol ha'amku shel yitziras haTorah nit, with all the respect to their depth and their creative Torah thinking, nevertheless, one thing is going to be missing, and that is pleitas beis sofrei. What is pleitas sofrei? Eif shal litzareif l'shalshelas haKabbalah haGedola dor. Im ein bo echad mi pleitas beis sofrei mishal ha'avar haNiskav. We cannot consider this generation to be part and parcel of the Mesoras haTorah and the Kabbalah, unless there's one individual in that generation who can link us up with earlier generations, who can create a bond that will connect doros one to the other. The efshal kabbalah satorah is gashem. We cannot consider this kabbalah satorah im ein yachid, if there's not one individual, at least in that generation, who has an akudat mabah, who has a perspective on generations beyond, past generations. Yesh lo masorah v'kabbalah. He's the one who can achieve this goal of linking generations together. So we spoke about the idea of a legacy. We spoke about the idea of a tzavva, of a last will and testament. So how does a Talmud move on in life after the loss of his Rebbe? And I think the answer is to continue the legacy of his Rebbe. There's an amazing statement in the Tanchuma about Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights after Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to the Ribono Shel Olam for kapara, for atonement, for the great sin, the catastrophe of the Egel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not listening. He's not hearkening to the prayers of Moshe. And on the very last day, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Ribono Shel Olam. And he says, what's going to be? And the Ribono Shel Olam B'chasdo says, I'm going to make a deal with you, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to give you the same deal that I offered Avraham Avinu way back when. Can you find 10 tzaddikim? And I'll spare the generation. So Moshe Rabbeinu starts calculating the tzaddikim. There's Moshe, and there's Aaron, and there's Hur, and Elazar, and Itamar, and there's Kalev and Yoshua, and he calculates 7. And at that point, the entire future of Klal Yisrael is in the balance. 7 and not 10. Out of desperation, Moshe Rabbeinu in the Medrash turns to the Ribono Shel Olam and asks the following question. Hachayim heim ha-mesim? Are the dead alive? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says yes. Im ken, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu and Yaakov Avinu, in their merit, spare the people of Israel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nichamti, I have changed my mind. The message of this message, I think, is so profound. These are three words that if you walk out of here, I'd like you to remember just these three words, if you can't remember anything else. Hachayim Heim Ameis. That's the question we have to ask us. Hachayim Heim Ameis. We don't believe that Mesim are no longer with us. On Yom HaKippurim and during the days of Tshuva Kapara, we say, Anachnu Vavosenu. We always repeat Avosenu. It's part of the formula. The Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Kapara LeMesim. The Mesim are still alive, and they will achieve Kapara. How did they achieve kapara? A person's dead. He can no longer implement mitzvahs. He can no longer do tshuva. But the answer is that he still has a continuing impact on the next generation. We have accepted his legacy. And this is a special chiyuv of kibud av va'em that's incumbent upon children. When a child does a mitzvah, especially during the first 12 months after the loss of a parent, hareini kaparas mishkavo, My father will have a kapara through my mitzvah. Because even though he himself physically cannot do the mitzvah, but I'm doing it because he influenced me, because he raised me, because of the impact of, that he had on me. And not only that, it's not just kibud av v'aim, it's kvod rabo. Kvod rabo, the Mishnah codifies in Masechta Kiddushin, in Masechta Bava Metzia, exceeds beyond kvod aviv. So if in kvod aviv this halacha that I continue my father's legacy, kol shkein v'kal v'chomer, so Berzon claims, there's a halacha that I have to continue my Rebbe's legacy, and that will bring him kapara, so that he will achieve kapara. But there's something much more fundamental going on over here, way beyond kapara. If I continue the legacy of my Rebbe, then achayim heim ha-mesim, and the answer is, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's in Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, the mesim are still very much alive. When I lost my father, and yesterday was his yard site, I don't know if anyone knew my schedule this past Shabbos. I was running around from here to there, but I managed to daven four tefillos for the Omer. And that required even more running around than giving the shiurim. Because there was another Ovel who was Bobayom, and I'm just a traveling salesman over here, you know, passing through. So I didn't have any kedima. So I had to figure out, with the help of Chaim and Roni and Mikey, all these fellas who worked out, you know, where I could get the Omer. So, for example, yesterday morning, I couldn't get chakras in Shari Shemaim. I had to daven on Cold Street. It wasn't cold. They were very warm. And they allowed me to be the shaks. But they daven... They daven Nates, Hanates. Now, Hanates is, I think, 557. But Rav Chin, that's Rabbi Silva's nephew, you know, he tells me that I shouldn't follow the official page. I got to add another 15 seconds. Okay. And not only that, I can't go beyond Kriyat Shema until I see Rav Miller finish Kriyat. I mean, it's a whole to do. I'm telling you, Rabosai, I could have done acrobatics in order to fill this, but thank God I may have to bench Colville, but I survived. And when I think about my father's legacy, Hachayim Heim HaMesim, I often think about my father's unique sense of humor. I don't know if there's anyone here who knew my father, but he was able to integrate Torah learning with Simcha. And of course, more than anyone who laughed at his jokes, he left his own jokes. And it was really something to be in his company. I mean, if you were down, Chas V'Shalom, just hang around my father. I mean, he would just lift you up. He was absolutely Mesameach HaSabriel, as it says in the Mishnah Novos. When he passed away, I asked myself the question, what can I do to honor my father? You know, that's what a son wants to do. I'm full of guilt feelings, although I had a great relationship with my father. I can only think of one time where he actually took off the belt. He's always, you know, he used to always warn us, you know, but the Hasra was there. But one time he took off the belt. Even then he didn't really hit me. But you know, I say to myself, gee, I could have done so much more with my father. I was 6,000 miles away in Eretz Yisrael. He was here in Brooklyn, New York. You know, what could I do? So I took it upon myself to publish a work of his Torah. And I named it Dovev Meisharim. His name was Dov. And Chazal say that when you say over Torah from someone who died, it's Sfasav Dovavros Bakever. So it's an amazing concept. A person taught Torah, and his Talmidim are projecting his Torah further. They are passing his Torah on. What greater kibud can there be to convert a mess into a chag? Hachayim Eim HaMesim, the answer is yes. How? By passing on the Torah. So in the cases that I mentioned at the outset, I'll talk a little bit about Rav Silva. I mean, so much Torah that he taught. There's no question in my mind that the greatest mitzvah of Hesped, as we said in the name of the Rav regarding Rav Chaim Ozer, is Tzava, is Sfas of Dovros Bakever. Now again, there's a catch-22 here, because it's very difficult to publish your Rebbe's Torah. You know, your Rebbe said it in a very unique way, in a particular context. In my Rebbe's case, you know, many people tried to present Rav Soloveitchik's works after posthumously after he died. I would say there are two, in my humble opinion, the two people who successfully presented the Rav's Torah. But there are thousands who tried. So it's a tricky business. For example, to learn over his shiurim. If there are tapes, to listen to the tapes and hear the recordings. This is all Svasov Dovros Bakev. In the case of Rav Goldberg, who passed away, he left Sfarim. Did Rav Silva leave Sfarim? I forget. No, it was all Torah Shebaal Peh.
Yeah, but we have tons of notes.
Tons of notes and tons of tapes and recordings. In the case of Rav Goldberg, I have a picture here. I forgot to bring it in. It's in my tefillin sack. I'll show it to you. A picture of me and Rav Moshe Goldberg when he gave me his sefer as a gift in Or Chaim, right here off the block. I'll never forget it. And, you know, if someone would take it upon themselves to learn those sforim and teach those sforim, I mean, it would be an amazing kiyum of Svasov Dovros Bakeva. A man who didn't reach the age of 70 and had such an impact on so many talmidim. How many people, by show of hands, knew Rav Goldberg? I mean, if you ask amongst the youth, you know, people in the teens, in the 20s, in the 30s, how many of them were talmidim Rav Goldberg? Like, it's endless. And he taught in different types of yeshivas. That's called Svasov Dovros Bakev. So I want to conclude, because I know we're on a very tight schedule this morning, that I think that in the context of Halah Sarav, we go from Choshech and Afela to Or, and even to Or Gadol. If we take our Rebbe's Torah, if we take his personality, if we're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Hesped, if we can possibly reevaluate what he was, his essence, and what he gave to us. But if we can't do that, then there's a second kiyum of Hesped, and that is Tzava'aso, his legacy, his last will and testament. And that includes Chesed, and that includes Torah, and teaching Torah b'simcha, and being mechadish chidushim. Not just reading sometimes we have a tendency of speed reading. No, it's amkus, it requires in depth. As we said at the outset of Rebbe Muvok, is Machayev and special mitzvah of Kovin, of Avelus, of Kriya. And sometimes, in the course of our life, we encounter moments in which we have to cut Kriya a second time, and maybe even a third time. Because as we get further away, somehow we appreciate the loss even more, and the pain is even more severe. But we should know that that pain, and that anguish, and that mourning, is part of the key of a mitzvah, of Kvod Rabbah, and it should project us forward to be able to continue his legacy, continue his Torah, continue in his ways of life. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, that'll be an Aliyas Neshama, and it'll give us the chizuk that we need at this crossroads. Now, Kosh Baruch Hu should give us the chizuk, the ability to do so. Keini Ratzon.
Amen.
No. I don't know. In children, I don't find it, but it's one of those halachas that fell into.
There's gracious. Please take. Otherwise, they're just going to go in the
grave. You know, I.
Wednesday morning at 8:15, Rav Berzon gives a shir, a Skype shir in Yudi Punka's downstairs at Yudi Punka's house,
8:15
a.m.
But I don't think we do. It's on the book.
Where is that?
This is another one. This fits into that category. But I think it's so much more important to appreciate the concept.
55.
And the interesting thing is Silver's episodes and the Goldberg.
Are you in the YU?
So close.
Really? I didn't know that. Erwin, you told me something that I didn't know.
They were so close. He was distraught. So he was so distraught. He told me, he said, Rav Goldberg never missed an Arab Shabbos to call him and with Vin Shabbos.
Yeah, that's fine. You got to build it up, you know?
I want to tell you one story about Rav Goldberg. This is not an official hesped, but I lived 2 years in Toronto. First year, I lived in Almore, right across the street from Aruch Chaim, 152. The day after I left, the second day, I get a knock on the door. Rav Goldberg comes with food to make sure I have food to eat. I said, Rebbe, you know, the more important things you can do with your life than knock on Berzon's door. So he said over the name of Rav Yisrael Salanter. I don't know if you never heard it, it's something you can take for life. Yenis Gashmius is Dina Ruchnius. What's Gashmius for him is your Ruchnius. But during the 2 years I was here, he took such good care of me. I remember he published at that time something called Amek something.
So does.
What's it called?
It was called Ha-Amek.
Ha-Amek. Now, I'm working for an institution called Amek Learning Center, so it's not coincidental. But every year I was there for 2 years consecutively, he came to me and said, Rabbi Berzon, please contribute to the Ha-Amek. And he published Torah that I would have lost if I hadn't published it.
It just came out about a month and a half ago.
That was his.
That's probably his left. Right? That's his. How long has he gone about
it? He was working on it. He was working on that before he left.
It was about 5 months ago, right?
No, the last one's a green one. Came up 2 months ago.
When did he lift it?